Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page. Well, have you heard this line before? You know, the first quarter of this year is anything to go by. A lot of travel-staffed customers or consumers are looking to see the world again and cruise through the blue seas. That's of particular interest. In fact, in Singapore, over 430,000 passengers have embarked on close to 320 sailings since cruises started in November 2020, now looking to go even further. In fact, in this new age of cruise travel, cruise lines such as Norwegian Cruise Line are increasingly boosting the industry through an understanding of travelers' ever dynamic attitudes. They strive to create exceptional experiences for guests suited for a variety of travel types and preferences, all while following health and safety protocols. So let's find out more about this from Braden Holland, who is Senior Director Asia for Norwegian Cruise Line. Good morning, Braden. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm great. Thanks. And thanks for having me.
This should be quite an interesting conversation. I understand that Norwegian Cruise Line is actually the third largest cruise line in the world by passengers.
That's right, yeah. So we have a fleet of 17 ships all over the world at the moment. Yeah, yeah. So we see ourselves as an innovator of the industry, and we're really happy that all of our ships are now back in the water.
Yeah, and you know, this is on my list as well. So if we're just talking about the Asia region and the fleets serving this region, what is the most popular route here?
For our own fleet, we don't currently have a ship based in Asia itself. Okay. They're abroad in US waters, Europe. Seasonally, we do and have done in past years. So, you know, we're committed to Asia and we're looking forward to getting back here when we can. Yeah.
But it must have been tough, right? I mean, going through the entire pandemic, what kind of impact did it have on Norwegian Cruise Line? And how did you guys, well, I hate to say this, how did you guys manage to stay afloat?
So there's no denying that we faced challenging times the last couple of years, no doubt about that. But, you know, our first of our 17 ships recommenced actually cruising the Greek islands back in July of last year. And actually, just a few days ago, our 17th ship commenced operating again, too. So we're fully operational now. And over that, those 2 years, although difficult times, it just gave us a lot of time to prepare and plan for the future and what, you know, and to be ready for what the future looks like.
What was, you know, one of the concerns when you were looking ahead and trying to plan for the future? Obviously, there was always going to be that optimism that people will want to travel again. They will want to get on cruises again. But what were you anticipating from the customer?
Right. So, look, I think given what everyone's been through, first and foremost is our what we call our sail-safe protocols. And that was the preparedness to be back operating again. And what we need to do to make sure that our guests feel comfortable and safe. And as part of our safety protocols, we've implemented a few key elements to future cruising, and they consist of requiring all of our guests 100% to be fully vaccinated, along with our crew as well, of course.
Okay.
But there's universal testing for everybody before they board a ship. We have a dedicated public health and safety officer on board every ship. We have medical grade air filtration on board the ship. So, you know, all of these areas are designed to make the guests feel more comfortable now they're returning to travel.
Yeah, it's an odd one. I mean, on one hand, the balance between what kind of protocols do I need to ensure before I board the ship, but at the same time, passengers still want to feel like life is back to normal in that sense.
Correct, yeah. And, you know, largely worldwide, certainly in the key cruise destinations of, say, Europe and the US, it is largely back to normal. You know, people are free to travel. We've seen border restrictions ease. Of course, the likes of yourselves in Singapore too have seen restrictions ease, much of Southeast Asia for that matter. I sit in Hong Kong at the moment and, you know, we're getting there too.
Yeah.
So the future is looking really bright, yeah.
It is. It is weird as well. It's like, wait, all I need to do is notarize my vaccination status. Cool. Are you sure there's not more I need to do? But, you know, that is how it is right now. Cruises were one of the first to sort of field test this whole safety protocol and whether or not people can go back to these sort of leisure. Are we seeing an increase in the number of pickups for cruise sails?
Oh, for sure. There's an incredible amount of pent-up demand and desire for people to want to travel again. You know, we're just in terms of statistics, you know, in 2019, which was probably our last normal year, globally, close to 30 million people cruised. If I go back to 2008, 2009, that figure was about 18 million. So it's seen a compound growth of like 6 to 8% a year, every year for more than a decade now. And given that, I guess, there's been no ability to travel the last 2 years at 30 million per year, we think there's 60 million plus people that haven't been able to travel that will want to travel now. So, yeah, it's exciting times moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, the safety aside, the cleanliness aside, hygiene protocols aside, what other ways has Norwegian Cruise Line sort of pivoted in the sense that what kind of interesting packages have you had to come up with to entice the customer back?
We have flexed a number of our itineraries as well, just changed it up a little too. And a key element to that, I guess, is adding more value by including a few more ports of call, a few more destinations within an itinerary. And for some of them, like, for example, our key Mediterranean itinerary, which is probably the number one cruise destination for the Asian population to do abroad, we've made those itineraries what was 7 days up to now 9 and 10, added a couple of extra ports. So it's more of a value-added experience, yeah.
Yeah. So people are taking up these longer cruise lengths. I mean, I saw one on your website that goes up to like, what, 16 days or something like that. And I went, yeah, I can get behind that because I don't need to change hotels.
Well, that's the great thing about cruising is you unpack once, then you can relax, and then you're in a new destination every day. So, you know, it's the ease of travel and the convenience of traveling via cruise. Once someone cruises, our repeat guest ratio is very, very high. Cruising globally is really quite high. You know, once you cruise, there's no turning back. Yeah, these ships are fantastic nowadays. And, you know, we believe we've got a fantastic product for the Asian population.
Yeah. So, I mean, looking forward, you talk about how you guys feel you've got a fantastic product for the Asian population. Where do you see cruises evolving, especially in the next year or year and a half?
Yeah, so with the 17 ships we have operating today, we have 6 more brand new ships on order, which it's one a year for the next 6 years that will be delivered to NCL. The first of which is Norwegian Prima, and this is a ship that is going to commence in August of this year, actually going to be cruising up to Iceland, Reykjavik in Iceland, which is one of the go-to hotspots at the moment where people want to get to. But this ship is going to be groundbreaking, and that followed by 5 more of her sisters is really exciting for us.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this ship is going to set a whole new level of expectation of what the future of cruising looks like. You know, she's going to have more outdoor space than any ship in her class. You know, we've got indoor, outdoor, alfresco dining, infinity pools. It's all about, she'll have the largest staterooms of any ship that we operate today. So it's all about listening to what our guests want. They want more space, more room to move, and more flexibility in their cruise experience.
I'm starting to think I should have reworked my honeymoon to do a cruise instead. this is amazing, going all the way up to Iceland. But where does Singapore fit into all of this? I mean, can we expect a cruise running from Singapore, you know, all the way to Iceland, for example, as far as that? Or is it still going to be a case of I got to fly into Japan to take one of the Norwegian cruise lines?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of both. When it comes to Asia, our approach in Asia is actually twofold. As a source destination for the Asian population to fly abroad and do a cruise in other exotic areas around the world, whether it be Europe, Alaska, Hawaii, the Caribbean, where we have ships home ported there. We have seasonally operated ships in Asia, and we have current plans for one of our ships, Norwegian Sun, to arrive into Asia, first into Japan and in October of this year, and then down to Singapore to run a few cruises from January of 2023. But look, you know, we need the borders to be relaxed before we can comfortably operate this.
Yeah.
But whether it's this season or the following, our commitment there for Asia is longer term, and certainly seasonally, we look at bringing shipping to Asia Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess with that, sorry, I was just going to say, with six more large ships on the way too over the next 6 years, that's going to open up a whole lot of options. So we're constantly looking at that.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds amazing. It really does. Actually, just out of curiosity, purely curiosity, running a cruise, just for example, like from Singapore, say up to Europe, how complicated is that when it comes to borders? I mean, I know we're out on the open sea, but I'm sure a lot of permits need to be done in that sense.
Yeah, it's different times now. Of course, a lot of planning goes into any of these sorts of itineraries. But when you're visiting multiple ports, multiple countries, different jurisdictions, we're really guided by local authorities as to what we can do, and we work closely with them. So, like I was saying, around the rest of the world where borders are largely open, and of course that's where our ships happen to be right now. Of course, once borders restrictions are eased, then it's much easier for us to create new itineraries and new destinations. And so from Singapore, part of our parent company, Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, we have two other brands, Regent Seven Seas and Oceania Cruises. And their product is a high-end and renowned for the longer itineraries. So at NCL, we do offer some longer itineraries seasonally, but the other two brands, that's their specialists in this, and that's what they really focus on. Yeah.
Yeah. That Tahiti one. Yeah. I'm going to be on it soon. I am going to do it. Fascinating conversation. Braden Holland, Senior Director, Asia Norwegian Cruise Line. It's been great. Thank you so much for your time. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Great. Thank you, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.